our topic today. Back last fall, as many of you might know, the federal government canceled funding for community museums, a funding program for community museums, and also funding for volunteer organizations, and announced that it was engaged in the process of developing a new set of policies for heritage organizations and museums in Canada. Unfortunately, the most recent budget, which was billed as a budget for everybody appears does not yet include community museums. We aren't getting too many signals about the importance of heritage or the funding of heritage from that particular budget. So our topic today is about the importance of heritage. Local heritage is a national issue. What kind of issue is it? And what kind of voice should we have in as a public in defining heritage in the 21st century in Canada? Is heritage now just a business? Is it just a matter of a tourist attraction? Or are heritage organizations, our museums, for example, civic institutions that have a role to play in the development of citizenship in the province and in Canada? So I have two people here to talk about those kinds of issues. One is Ron Ulrich, who is familiar to you from a previous appearance at SACPA. He's the Chief Executive Officer of the Galt Museum and Archives, and he will be that until next month when he departs for Vancouver as the new head of the Jewish Museum and Archives in Vancouver. Wendy Aikens is our new curator at the Galt. Just this year, she's arrived and has taken over that position. She's the first curator, actually, a curator position we've had there. But Wendy is also the president of a provincial body, the Alberta Museums Association, which is one of the most, I must say, most forward-looking of the provincial professional associations for museum people in Canada. So I'm happy to welcome the two of them, and they're going to give you a talk for about 30 minutes, following which we'll have some lunch.
Wendy and I talked that we would share this. Before Wendy talks a little bit about the funding issues that are facing Canadian museums today, we thought it'd be wise to give you a bit of a background on why these issues are important and some of the history of how museums came to be and the funding models in which they operate. The Galt is no exception to these rules. As many of you are aware, the Galt Museum started in 1964 in the Bowman Art Center, occupied three rooms, and we took over the second floor and the basement of the Sir Alexander Galt Hospital starting in 1967. And a lot of museums across Canada and certainly across the province of Alberta came to be around that time period. There was a fervor of, you know, Canadian centennialism. People wanted to celebrate their national heritage and certainly their community history. And that continued right through the 1980s when we had the province's 75th birthday, and most recently with the 2005 funding available for capital projects. Government is great about giving money to be able to build the buildings. They're not so great about giving money to operating it. Now, in fairness, most of these community museums, when they first got started, and I'll give you an example. When I was 15, I became involved with the Crow's Nest Historical Society in the Crow's Nest Pass. And we were going to build a new museum, and that was in 1980. And there were a great many people there who had been, you know, long-term family residents of the Crow's Nest Pass. They felt it was very important to preserve the history of the Crow's Nest Pass because it's getting close to 75 or 80 years old itself. And the history had matured, and there were enough people and enough artifacts to be able to talk about it. Well, they bought the Coleman High School for a dollar. And they had volunteers who were carpenters and history teachers and secretaries take some minimal training, and off we went and developed the museum in 3 years, and we opened it to the public in 1983. And that is very typical of how a lot of community museums got started. It was on the back of the volunteers, operating costs were low, people had a real interest in museums, and so they were willing to come in and buy History books were another big fundraiser, and for us in the Crows Nest Path, it was the annual coin program. So there are lots of ways that we could make up the heating and lighting bills, and we had no staffing costs, and exhibits were done with materials that were donated by members of the founding board. Most of the volunteers were seniors. They were retired. They had an opportunity. They were done with their day jobs, wanted to keep contributing to the community. And so what they did was they ran the museum, opened it up Monday through Sunday, and kept the museum accessible to the public. However, in 20 years, I know even with the board that was responsible for the Crows Nest Museum, the entire founding board is now passed away. And so a lot of those people that were in their 50s and 60s are gone. And that is, again, very typical of a lot of the community museums that we see across Canada. The founding members are gone. We have over 220 museums in this province. Most of them are located in rural communities. And we have the challenge in rural communities of a number of things. First of all, there's an aging population in a lot of rural communities. Secondly, there's a diminishing population as a lot of people move out of rural communities into communities like Lethbridge or Calgary or Fort McMurray. And they basically follow the jobs. My mother laments as I'm moving to Vancouver, "I can't believe you're leaving the small town. We thought you'd live here forever." And when she's sharing that with her quilt guild, she discovered that all of the quilt guild members' children were either overseas or in Ontario. So moving away to Vancouver for her was a little bit closer, and she felt a little bit better. But it's so typical of what happens to people within those communities. Those people volunteer, but there's no one behind them to volunteer in their place once they're in a place where they can no longer volunteer. What also has happened with museums over the last number of years is that there's an increasing level of sophistication and standards, basic standards. Things like you don't put tack up, Aunt Lucy's 1902 wedding dress to the wall with thumbtacks anymore. There's a level of professionalism that comes in that talks about how are we going to preserve Canada's material culture past, the lifespan of the founding members. And, so in many cases, 20 or 30 years past the time that those museums were established, how do we maintain those collections? And generally across Canada, certainly at the Gulf, our endeavor is to preserve the material culture of Southern Alberta for a period of 500 years. So that requires some pretty strict measures now. It means there's no mice, there's no bugs, there's no moths eating away at the collection, and we certainly have taken Aunt Lucy's wedding dress off the wall many years ago and putting it in acid-free tissue. Also, the requirements for funding today require, in most cases, a level of policy that indicates professionalism. And in the case of any federal government grant, funding is unavailable to you unless you have a full-time paid member of staff on with your museum. And that precludes a lot of the rural community museums that might make access to this funding. What does funding look like today for most museums? For those of you who are involved with any nonprofit organization, you realize that there are raffles, bingos, gift shop sales, book sales, coin sales, etc. That there are some grants that are available, and to us there are grants available from the province through the Alberta Museums Association, but they're project-based. Means my salary is not paid by provincial or federal government. What it is that if I have a project that I want to undertake, we're going to develop a collection plan for the museum. Well, we can access up to $6,000 for those plans. Well, those plans are not cheap to do anymore. And so the funding that we're getting in some of these quarters is a lot of work, requires a lot of volunteers are no longer able to fill out a lot of those applications. They're too onerous, and they become challenging to apply for. We also receive student funding like summer temporary employment programs through the province of Alberta and so on. What we're also finding is that more and more energy of any volunteer or staff are going into fundraising rather than into the core functions of museums. But I'll give you an example. And Wendy, I'm taking this from Wendy's example, and it's becoming a real sore point with museum professionals. Fort Calgary established itself as a way to be able to recognize the history of the Northwest Mounted Police in Calgary. It was the second Northwest Mounted Police post that was established after Fort McLeod. And so they had built themselves a rather large new addition with a really great permanent gallery, and that's one of why we scoped out Wendy and brought her down to Lethbridge, because she had done a really amazing job in developing that gallery, very hands-on, very professional. I thought, this is the person I want working for me. But they're now in a position where their funding from the city and their increased cost have forced them to go into the business of catering. And catering and facility functions have overshadowed the entire business of the museum. You might as well call it the Fort Calgary Convention Center rather than the Fort Calgary Museum, because the entire staff is almost dedicated towards that one function, one of the reasons why Wendy left. And that's not typical of any museum. Heritage Park, though it's very lovely to wander, you know, take the streetcar and to take the train, and there's a number of things, I can tell you that their number one way of raising funds in that park is through catering. I know that even in terms of my job at the Galt Museum and for the new incoming CEO, the number one priority in which 50% of my time will be dedicated towards is in fundraising. That's not a bad thing. We don't want to break the backs of taxpayers. But on the other hand, what happens to collections management? What happens to overseeing programs that make those collections accessible to the citizens of Lethbridge? What happens in terms of research? And I can tell you, there's a number of collections that we would love to be able to spend time researching and understanding more about, so we can present more accurate depictions of those collections to the public. We have no time. Wendy's time as a curator is more being spent in developing funding applications and sponsorship applications than anything that she's spending in terms of research, and she's only been on the job 6 months. We at the Galt are very fortunate that we have solid operating funds provided by the municipality. Many community museums do not, and they receive a pittance of about $20,000 to $40,000 a year from their respective communities. And quite frankly, it's all that those communities can do to provide that support. Fort McLeod Museum, the museum that I have left to come run the Galt, is in danger this year of becoming bankrupt and closing. It's a museum that is one of Alberta's oldest museums since 1957. They relied entirely on the tourist trade, and as you know, since the BSC and the war in Iraq has started, our American traffic has declined significantly. And tourism across southern Alberta has declined significantly. So for an organization that has depended on tourist traffic since 1957, the funds have dried up. When I was there, the attendance was about 47,000 people a year. I think last year they had received a total of 20,000. So you can see the decline in only 5 years, and that has had a huge impact. Fort McLeod Museum, as an example, their operating budget was about $350,000 a year. About only 20,000 of that was raised through grants. The other 320,000 was raised through operating, with admissions and gift shop sales. It's considering closing. Costs are too high, there's no volunteers to assist, and no paid staff will come based on a salary of $30,000 a year. And at this point, I'll let Wendy take over and talk a little bit about what's happening federally and provincially with funding opportunities.
Ron. Trimming the fat is what the Conservative government considered cuts to adult literacy programs, the Canadian Volunteerism Initiative, the status of Women's Council and the Museum's Assistance Program that they announced on September 25th, 2006. So that's the MAP program. One of the most surprising aspects of these cuts for the museum community was the fact that the Canadian Museums Association, supported by communities, museums across Canada, and individuals associated with those museums, had been in discussion with all the parties in Parliament with respect to developing a new museum policy that included increased funding. All the parties supported that initiative. As a matter of fact, the new museum policy was to be presented to the Liberal caucus the day the Conservative government, or the Conservatives, chose to force a new election. During the election, the Conservative government reaffirmed their support for a new museum policy that included new funding. Consultations between the Ministry of Canadian Heritage and the Canadian Museums Association continued, and on September 20th, the Standing Committee on Canadian Heritage tabled a recommendation to develop a new museum policy. So you can imagine our surprise when 5 days later, $4.6 million was cut from the MAP programming. The MAP budget supports community museum projects across Canada had only been sitting at $11.8 million. So the substantial cut of 4.6 was about over 2 years. It was almost 40% in those 2 years. A moratorium was also placed on accepting applications, and that moratorium was just lifted in February of this year. Now, the federal government is proud of the fact that it provides $245 million to museums in Canada. But you must remember that $233 million, those numbers boggle my mind, $233 million goes directly to our four national museums. So the Museum of Civilization, the Museum of Nature, the Museum of Science and Technology, and the National Gallery. That leaves the $11.8 million reduced now to help with the remaining community museums across Canada. The community museums accessed the MAP funding for a variety of short-term projects that supported the existing museum policy. They involved conservation of artifacts, the creation of exhibits for local and for traveling exhibitions. As a matter of fact, it's a priority. You do not get MAP funding unless you are going to travel your exhibit to at least two other provinces other than your own. It also involves the care of collections through database management, either technology databases on computer or hand-done management. Following the cut, the Heritage Minister, Bev Oda, made the following statement to the House of Commons. After more than a decade of neglect, all museums are facing challenges. We recognize that. That is why we are going to develop a new museum policy that will serve all museums, national, regional, and local, in every community across the country. The federal budget presented to Parliament this past Monday had no mention of a new museum policy, no long-range funding for community museums, and no fund reallocation to the MAP program. There was an increase to funding for the Young Canada Works grants, which is something that museums are encouraged to access to hire their summer staff. The Galt has stopped accessing that because the application process and the evaluation process are so onerous and so time-consuming that we find it very difficult to accommodate. And their timing is so awkward. Some years we haven't heard about whether we've got that funding until June. But we hire summer staff in April. And unless we get that commitment, we cannot hire our staff. So we need to go to alternative sources to hire additional summer staff. Now, on the local front in Alberta, monies that go to the Alberta Museums Association that Ron mentioned come to that organization through the Alberta Lotteries, via an organization called the Alberta Historical Resources Foundation. And that money that the ARF organization has multiple components. What AMA gets is $1.4 million, which runs the operation and provides grants that museums like the Galt can access. The funds that we access through AMA are, again, short-term projects that can involve collections management, exhibit development, program development, policy development, so administrative sides of things as well. The AMA also provides learning courses, advisory sources, services, a library, and information publications. With the knowledge and support of the Ministry of the Community Development, the AMA has also put in place an affirmation program. This program is to help province museums across the province determine or prove that they are indeed doing the job that museums are expected to do. And the ICOM definition of museums specifies that it's a nonprofit organization operating for the public good and acquires, researches, preserves, conserves, and provides access to the artifacts and knowledge in a collection. And I provide the information, not just the artifacts, the three-dimensional. We have stories. We have information about the intangible heritage, heritage music, dance, skills, traditional skills in carpentry, blacksmithing, and so on. This year, the Board of Directors of the Alberta Museums Association has identified a real need that the museums in the province need to become more politically astute. We need to increase our awareness concerning museums with the public, politicians, and those employed by the government who support the politicians, and to advocate for better funding for the museums. With that in mind, the board has established a committee on advocacy and has identified advocacy as our primary focus for this year and, I suspect, many years to come. Prior to the establishment of this committee, Jerry Osmond, who is our executive director, Alexander Hatcher, who was the president in 2006, and me, as the vice president, arranged to meet with Minister Dennis Ducharme, who was the Minister of Community Development up until this last change in our government. We presented the minister with information about the work and challenges of the community museums in Alberta. We talked to him about what Alberta Museums stands for and how we handle the funds that we are provided with through the government and the work that we do. And we also talked to him about the affirmation program. We talked to him about the challenges faced by the museum community in the province. In our brief, we asked the minister to consider providing funding for multi-year projects to help alleviate what most museums identify as their most significant concern, and that is the lack of professionally trained staff. And as Ron mentioned, that also ties to the MAP funding as another expectation of the federal government funding. Minister Ducharme's response was a gracious thank you, some thoughtful questions, and a discussion around matching funding between museums, their sponsors, and the provincial government. This was presented, the idea of matching funding was presented in the throne speech as something the government is going to implement, along with increased tax benefits for donors. So both of those sound like they are going to help our community museums in a substantial way. But you must consider that time that we have for staffing, for fund development, and the overwhelming pressure that is already evident with potential partners in corporations and community institutions. The requests that they get for money is absolutely incredible. So for us to gain some of that funding is extremely challenging. More currently, as the president of the Alberta Museums Association, I sent letters of congratulations to Premier Stelmach and to the new minister, Minister Hector Boudreau, who is in charge of parks, recreation, something else, and culture. I'm sorry, tourism. Thank you. And culture. So there are 17 ministries in the provincial government. The last one to be mentioned is this particular ministry, and the last word on that page is culture. But we did get a response from both individuals asking, thanking them for their congratulations. And Minister Boudreau has offered to meet with the Alberta Museums Association Board. So we will be setting up a meeting, and we will be going to him again with a request for increased funding. And that increased funding is long-term funding. To hire an individual with professional accreditation for a one-year or a few-month contract is extremely difficult for their career and for the museum itself and for that continuity, that succession planning. We need to be able to provide funding for jobs for the young people coming out of the university programs so that we can give them entry-level jobs. And that will continue to allow them to work in the museum and eventually take over my job when I'm ready to retire. We are going to approach him with a substantial request in increased funding for that long-term goals. And now I'm going to turn this back to Ron for a few more comments, and then we'll have lunch.
Thank you, Wendy. You've been doing an excellent job, by the way, of museum board chair. What Wendy has been doing, and a number of others have been doing across the country, is educating our political leaders about the positive impacts of cultural facilities and have in our communities, and encouraging them to support museums through new museum policy at both the federal level and at the provincial level, both of which include long-range financial support, something that the Canadian Museum Association and the Alberta Museum Association are actively pursuing. It's also the responsibility of everyone in Lethbridge and Southern Alberta who values the Galt Museum, the Southern Alberta Art Gallery, the University of Lethbridge Art Gallery, Fort Wupup Interpretive Centre, and the Japanese Gardens, and the many other cultural organizations, to write to their MLA and their MP and ask our elected officials to support through policy new funding that will permit museums to continue the valuable work of preserving community memory and community material culture. We thank you today for listening to us, and we look forward to your questions at the after lunch. Thank you very much.
So thank you, Ron.